Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody. And let's see, there are things to be happy about. It's nice out there today, actually. It's kind of warming up a little. It's nice. I don't know if you remember the bar that was called Railgarten, Jeffrey? Are you familiar with Railgarten?
Of course.
Well, it's reopening.
I saw this in
not
the other words.
Not as Railgarten. It's reopening. This is going to be in your sweet spot.
Yeah, this is minutes from my house.
And it's called Stomping Grounds. And it's going to, you have to bring a kid to go. So like Railgarten was a bar where you could bring your kids and hang out and they had things. This is going to be kind of even more geared that way. You literally have to have a kid. I'm going to have to be stealing a kid if I want to go. But anyway, so that's good news. You got anything else?
Nothing comes to mind, Jeff.
Flush out.
Oh, Jameis is starting.
Oh, Jameis Winston. Yeah. I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mike Kafka is already my favorite Giants coach for like the last decade.
I remember Mike Kafka when he was a quarterback.
At Northwestern?
He threw for like a million yards one game. He threw 77 times or something one game. They were airing it out back then. Go Cats. And then he was, he's really responsible for Patrick Mahomes' greatness, it turns
out. Of course,
yes. I've forgotten that. He was a quarterback coach or an intern or something there with Kansas City before he, anyway, made his way to the Giants. Now he's the interim, and sure enough, he's elevating Jameis Winston. So that's good news. I got nothing else. I'll be honest, I got nothing else. Like, for example, I do. No, that's not true. I got today's lineup. That's good news. John Martin's going to join us next. I think he is news. Saw some interesting news from John, or interesting personal news from John Martin that we can get into, plus, of course, his thoughts on the Tigers and the Grizzlies. Then Chris Harrington, that's good news. He's going to join us straight up at 10 o'clock. Chris wrote the Grizzlies story last night from their loss to the Knicks. And then Sam Hardiman is going to join us. Sam Hardiman wrote a piece this week. He looked ahead to see what Memphis is going to look like after the task force. What will this do for us? What's the future hold? Talk to community leaders about that. So Sam Hardiman will join us as well. We'll avoid talking about the Bills and Patriots as much as possible with Sam Hardiman. And so there, that's it. But like in terms of the bad news, like, I watched the playoff rankings last night, and you know who I didn't see?
You did not see the Memphis Tigers.
Did not see the University of Memphis Tigers. That was short-lived. That was a short-lived burst of joy there. And yet, I could make the argument that of the three programs that we follow most closely here on this Jeff Calkins show and really on this station, maybe you could feel better about the Memphis football team than any of them.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I feel like you're kind of stuck. Like, at least with the other ones, like,
there's a possibility.
Yeah.
There's something. Yeah. There's also a possibility of true misery.
Sure.
You know, that's the other possibility. Because what happened last night was both teams played. Grizzlies and Tigers, both teams lost. I guess we said the more important game was the Tiger game. And so we will start with that. And listen, there is no, they covered.
Yeah.
They covered. There is absolutely nothing shameful about going down to Oxford and losing by sixth. As we said yesterday, they hadn't won there since 2005. This was at a time when they sometimes had teams that were much more talented than Ole Miss. And I don't think you could say this Memphis team is more talented than Ole Miss. They were heavy underdogs. They covered. And again, you see players who are, okay, like Doug McDermott's good. He's just good. He's good. Last night, by the way, on the boards as well, right?
Like, they needed him.
They certainly needed him. 15 points, 7 assists, and 7 rebounds. You got a nice game from Curtis Givens.
Yep.
That was nice. Ashton Hardaway. You got some contributions from Ashton Hardaway. That was nice. And they hung in there. They were – Penny blamed the defense. It was sort of interesting. Like, I mean, Ole Miss shot practically 52%. So you can't say it was a sterling defensive performance. But, hey, here's one. They didn't turn the ball over. You know, there were some good things, and they weren't blown out, and they hung in there, and – they're still figuring it out.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I've left the last two games more encouraged. Like, this was not a game that I thought that they were going to go down and, like, I didn't think they were going to go down and win big. Like, I don't, like, they were down 4. Bradshaw gets to the line.
Misses the free throws.
Yeah, but I mean, that's right after Kamar Dean missed his free throws. But, like, that was a chance to get back in it. It felt like they needed one more big shot and they couldn't get it. And
it also, if you're being honest with yourself, did you ever think they were going to win?
Not in the second half. No, but I also thought the reason why I'm giving them some credit is I thought there was a chance that like that game was starting to get like 11, 12.
100%. They never won. Like they were game. They worked. They clearly busted their asses. They were game. They held up like whatever. I'm with you. There was nothing to be discouraged about. Well, there are things to be discouraged about in that loss. I never thought they were going to win, though. Like, once Ole Miss took the lead after the first few minutes, Ole Miss was in, obviously, and then they stretched the lead right before half.
Yep. I thought that was a key stretch.
Absolutely key stretch. And then I never thought that they were, here's the truth, is that anytime Memphis got close, you know, they hit a massive shot. Cameron Dean, pro, 26 points, would hit a shot. Perry hit those two big threes. Like every time Memphis, it's like, hey, well, maybe. Ole Miss hit a big three or got a big bucket, and that was that. They also got 33 free throws to Memphis's 20 free throws, although they missed a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Only 7 turnovers for Memphis. Like, that's pretty impressive.
Totally agree.
To go down to Ole Miss. And
especially a team that plays, like, pressure defense.
But, yeah, and only have 7 turnovers, that's good. The things that troubled me were twofold. One, and the main one, they just don't have any bigs. Like, Aaron Bradshaw was terrible. And plays 20 minutes. He gets 1 rebound and takes 1 shot and misses. He is just he looks good, man. He's tall. He's long. He looks like he could be a hell of a basketball player. And his impact on the game is absolutely nothing. It does nothing, really. And that's where you spent your money, on the bigs. Scylla.
Well, and your point guard.
No, I mean on the big money, the bigs money. Yeah. On the bigs, the place you spent your money was Bradshaw.
Yeah.
I'm saying.
Yes.
I'm not saying you spend your money in the bigs.
Gotcha.
I'm saying the money you spend in the bigs, that you allotted to bigs, you spend it on Bradshaw. Scylla, like, plays hard, but obviously is not a great player. Majok, such a fun story. Such a fun story. And maybe by the end of the year, like, you can see things there.
You could see him figuring it out.
Right. That's the thing. That, to me, the place where I have the most... Listen, when they bring in Bradshaw, the thinking is, okay, he hasn't been able to do it before as a college player. But we've seen this. You step down a level, and all of a sudden you're an American, and maybe you can tear it up, right? I mean, you saw with Dane Danger. He goes from Illinois to Memphis, and all of a sudden he's the best, you know, turns into the best player in the world. And so maybe he can tear it. Now, Ole Miss isn't down a level. Ole Miss is the SEC. And but we didn't see anything from him over the weekend either. We haven't seen anything from him. It seems like a giant hole in the middle. I thought Dane Bradshaw, who was on Jason and John yesterday, said something very interesting. And this is, to me, the larger thing that sort of depressed me last night about the Tigers. Dane Bradshaw said, last year, as they stacked all these impressive non-conference wins, and certainly once they got to conference play, on any given day, they had the best, they often had the best, and maybe the two best players on the floor. Right? In Haggerty and Danger.
Yes. Now, I would point something out about Dane. Like, I wanted to...
No, he back half of the season, he was terrible at the front.
Correct.
He turned into that. Yes, he turned into that. There's no question. I mean, after the North Carolina exhibition, we were like, what in the world? So maybe you could see the same thing with Bradshaw, but I'm not predicting it. I'm hopeful for it, but right now it feels like, here's my point. Okay, certainly by the end of the year, you could say that Memphis had the best and maybe the two best players on the court in any given game, right?
Yeah, an American play, yeah, for sure.
Certainly an American play, and even one that, like, you don't have a lot of players who are better than those two, no matter who you're playing.
No, I agree.
They don't have that this year. And then the other thing is that Penny, he was not, it didn't sound like Penny was whining about this, but in the pregame when he was on with Bolo, he said, he was just talking about Ole Miss. And he said, yeah, they got a big budget, they can go get whoever they want. That's what he said.
I mean,
it's
possible that the roster at Ole Miss is twice what the roster at Memphis was.
That's what I'm just saying. Like, it's he didn't say, what do you expect? I am poor, I need more money. He didn't say that. He just matter-of-factly said, they got a big budget, they can go get whoever they want. Well, here's the thing then. I don't mean to, like, it was a game effort. There were a lot of good things. They played hard. They were right there. They didn't get blown out. They covered. Like, there is nothing depressing about that game. But to me, if you're saying, and we're not talking about Alabama here or Kansas or, you know what I mean? We're not talking about
We're talking about a team that's probably going to finish somewhere between like 6 and 10 in the sixth place or 10th place in the SEC.
For a Memphis basketball program, we have debated forever. Since I've been here, one of the radio debates has been, are they a top 20 program, right? Are they a top 20 program? That's been one of the radio debates. And you could argue, no, they're not top 20, they're top 30, right? Like, oh no, they're definitely top 20. Who else has been to 3 Final Fours and goes to the Sweet 16 every 4 years, like once it was, et cetera. And now the other thing that Dane Bradshaw said, he was talking to coaches and the coaches were saying, you know what? In some ways, this NIL thing makes recruiting a lot easier. It used to be that I had to call all the time and work my ass off all the time. Now it's just like, how much?
Yep.
You know? And well, Memphis, that is the thing that has always differentiated Memphis basketball, say, for example, from Memphis football, is Memphis basketball had aspirations that you could win a national championship at Memphis. You could go to the Final Four at Memphis. You could do all those things. It had a dramatically higher ceiling. Memphis was, no, not Duke or Kansas, but they were like in the next cut of programs. Well, now it's just pretty simple. To be a top 20 program, you have to have a top 20 budget. To be a top 20, top 30 program, you have to have a top 30 budget. Jeffrey, answer me this. Do the Memphis Tiger basketball team have a top 20 budget?
No.
No.
Maybe like a top 50. top 60, yes, somewhere in that area.
I agree with that completely. Yeah. Maybe a top 50,
but
a top
I think that's
60.
The other thing that we're seeing. But there's
people,
a massive difference
people
between.
People didn't fall in love with this team because it was a top 60 program.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
People fell in love with this team because it was a top 20, arguably, maybe 30 program. And so it just feels like there's a whole argument about whether, you know, the French kid, Cameron Dean's a pro, literally played pro basketball.
Yep.
Literally played pro basketball. And does that bother people or not bother people?
Shut it, Simon.
What? Yeah. Doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me. So does Simon Majak. Yes. Does not bother me that they played not in this new world, the pros now. Like what? If once upon a time, if you were pretending they were amateurs and said, oh, well, once they took money, they're dirty. And so we can't have them. Well, now you're paying them anyway. Like, I really do believe that unless you've set foot in the NBA, if you've played a minute in the NBA, you should not be allowed to play college basketball. Everyone else, I don't care.
I struggle a little with the G League thing because I do also think once you declare, that should count. But I'm with you. I understand that it's going to be difficult to actually legislate.
It is weird. Like in other sports, in the NHL, you can not only declare, you can be drafted
and have your rights
and they hold your rights and you can still go back and play for the University of Minnesota Gophers.
Yeah. I guess that I liken it more to something.
Now you're not getting paid then.
Right. I liken it more to what we see more in golf where somebody will have turned pro and then it doesn't work out, and then they go and get their reinstated amateur status, right, and then they get to go and compete. Like, I have a little bit. It's a lot like right. that.
But my larger point is that I'm thinking to myself, you know, well, Penny should have gone to get Cameron Dean, but he probably couldn't afford him.
I think that's a huge part of it.
So there you are. Like, to me, that's the depressing. The most depressing thing that happened last night was in the pregame when Penny just matter-of-factly talked about Ole Miss. Ole Miss used to be kind of the dregs of the SEC basketball. Like
I think the term was coaching graveyard.
You may not have been able to, okay, fine, we can't recruit against Kentucky. But honestly, back then, they 100% could recruit against Tennessee. 100% could get better players than Tennessee because they had all the players from Memphis they could get. Tennessee couldn't get into Memphis, really, not that effectively until Tony Harris. So whatever, there may be a couple schools in the SEC you were not on their level, but that's it. I mean, Arkansas is historically, but not that different. Louisville, not that better. Louisville better, definitely better, but not that different. And now they don't have as good a roster. They don't have as good a roster. And given that they don't have as good a roster, I thought they played their asses off, except for the bigs. And the bigs are going to be a continuing problem. I'll tell you the other guy who has not been delivered, or is probably getting a good paycheck, is Zach Davis.
Yes.
He fouls.
He had some bad, man, did he have some bad fouls last night.
Bad fouls. Bad fouls. Like there's a guy that they probably spent money on too.
Especially like down the stretch, like what are you doing fouling with 30 feet away from the basket? Like, oh God, that was mind-numbing.
So, I don't know. Like it was definitely, of the two losses last night, it was the more encouraging. It was the more like, all right, the Memphis team gave it all they had. You know, there was nothing to hang your head about there. They were definitely, we'll get to the other one in a minute. There were things to hang your head about. This one, there's nothing to hang your head about. You got UNLV coming in. UNLV, by the way, just lost to Montana last night. See that?
Yeah, but listen, the Grizzlies have a phenomenal program.
Those Grizzlies, the Montana Grizzlies. They already lost to UT Martin, and now this is becoming, let's just say it's a must-win. Are we going to call it a must-win? Feels like a must-win.
I would agree with you.
But this is a team that's going to face Purdue, which has a bigger budget, Baylor, which has a bigger budget, Louisville, which has a bigger budget, State,
yes.
Bigger budget?
Yeah.
Vandy, bigger budget?
Yes.
Wake, visit, bigger budget?
Don't know.
I say Wake. They could face, you know, whatever. That's if they, in the consolation game, they could get Wake.
I mean, if we're just taking
Wake nearly, Wake gave Michigan all they could
have. If we're just judging it based on last night, but my gut says they're going to be similar to Wake's budget.
Ballpark, same ballpark.
Yeah.
Anyway, I did think it was a perfectly admirable effort by the Tigers. And but like of those games,
I guess can
how
I bottom
line going to win?
Can I bottom line? So going into last Friday, like I was like, man, anything's on the table.
Oh, this could be a mess.
Bad.
Yeah, and it's not a mess at all.
Correct. And I've actually, I understand they're 1-1, and I'm not trying to pat them on the head and like good job. I'm just talking about purely how they look. I thought this thing could be a disaster.
And it's not at all.
But like last night, I even found myself going, man, they're running offense. Like, you know what I mean? Like it looked functional.
No,
like,
I agree with you. I agree completely. And the pieces look like they fit.
Yeah.
Like it, and there's enough depth there that like Quante Berry didn't have a big game last night that he did, but Curtis Givens did. You know,
yeah.
Like there's enough pieces for him to play with, but not too many. It's honestly just a problem with the bigs. I'm on team Majok. A, I like the story, but B, I'm not on team Majok in terms of.
He certainly has the highest ceiling for fun.
He has the highest ceiling for fun. And I also think that, listen, I'm not saying this is not start Simon Majok. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I am saying that by the time the tournament rolls around or the conference tournament rolls around, maybe he'll be more of a factor.
I'm still not quite ready to 100% push the eject button on Bradshaw.
Well, Penny did yesterday.
Yeah, I know. But they also, like, I do think that was more in service of, like.
Well, I do like the fact that that you're holding out hope. You're pointing to Dane Danger's trajectory last year.
It was not a good start.
And so, okay, that's good.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
As for the, not the Montana Grizzlies, the Grizzly Grizzlies, you know, I think I was the one who came up with the expression basketball is a game of runs, didn't I? Well, that was me, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought we trademarked it.
I thought we trademarked that way back when. Basketball is a game of runs. It's not actually a game of 19 to nothing runs.
That was kind of a tough one in the first quarter.
It spanned the two quarters.
Yeah.
But you give up the 19-0 run and you go down by 28. And listen, by the end, you make it respectable. But you're not fooling me. You're not fooling me what that game was about.
The closest I got to, I was never like, oh, this is winnable. But there was a possession, I think, in the fourth quarter, maybe like 2.5 minutes left, where I think they had cut it to like 7, maybe, and they get a miss from the Knicks, but then the Knicks got the rebound and then kicked it right back to Brunson, and he hit the three, and I was like, all right, we're done here.
28-point lead at one point. Listen, there's a lot of stats that... that can tell you what happened. I think the 33 points off of turnovers to 11, I think that one pretty much boils it down for me. Ja had 8 turnovers. Jaren had 5 turnovers. Or you want 18 to 6 in second chance points. That's another one. You want the 77 first half points that they gave up? That's another one.
I do think some of those 77, I still thought the biggest one was the turturnovers and the points off turnovers.
Very clearly one. The biggest one is the 33 points off turnovers to 11.
Yeah.
That accounts for the entire margin of victory and more. But, I mean, they gave up 42 points in one quarter, then 35 points, then 37 points. Like, the defense was totally non-existent. And the one of the issues is what I wanted from this road trip was some continuing evidence that they have emerged from their funk, right?
Yeah.
That the drama is behind them.
You wanted stabilization.
And honestly, I didn't really get that last night. I thought they looked like a team. There was no blow up. There was no, we're going to talk here. Listen to Ja here in a minute. There was no blow up. There was no, histrionics or whatever else. But did that look like a team that was locked into you? Like just allowing, now the Knicks are doing this to everybody. The Knicks are off to a great start at home. The Knicks are really good. They've now played the Thunder and the Knicks, and literally those two teams could be meeting in the NBA finals, right? But that to me did not look like, it looked like a team that was certainly at large points in the first half indifferent.
So I felt like it depended on which side of the ball you were focused on. I do think their offense is starting to come around a little bit.
Yes.
Like, I do think that, like, the first few games of the year when you're watching the offense.
When the offense isn't throwing the ball away.
Correct.
And I'm not saying that that had moments that it looked like.
Because this is kind of my Daniel Jones argument. If you just set aside the turnovers, he's good enough to be a starter. But the turnovers count. Like, so I'm not, trying to.
No, I'm with you there. Offensively, they had a bunch of, like, they looked like they had an idea of what they were doing offensively.
Correct.
Defensively, it was
a joke.
Oh, my
God. And I guess what I would hold out is they do have a lot of youngish, newish pieces.
It is funny, though. Why should they be this bad defensively? You've got KCP only played 15 minutes and is basically doing nothing, and you see why Orlando wasn't interested, right? So, but still, he's supposed to be a credible defensive player.
Yeah.
Jalen Wells is a credible defensive player. Cedric Coward is a credible defensive player. Jaren is a former defensive player of the year. Obviously, Ja is not a good defensive player, and they're missing Zach Edey. But you know what? Like, the New York Knicks were missing Mitchell Robinson last night. Does the entire team come crashing down because you're missing your center?
No. For me, what it seems like is somebody will get beat initially, and then everybody over-pursues, and then just leaves somebody wide open for a three.
I think, again, you didn't see any explosions last night. Does this look like a team that's all for one, one for all, you know, running through the wall, all that, you know, no.
No, but I do think this is one of those teams that if they started to get some reinforcements back and they started to have a decent winning streak, like I do think that's a byproduct of losing.
Losing and then a new system,
right.
And then already you're hearing the noise and whatever. I think it's easier. It's why, for example, actually, one reason when we talk about Memphis football, one of the things that I credit Memphis football is they never let go of the rope. Like, it is natural when bad things are happening to sort of collapse, even if you look like you're trying, you know, it's just not to have the same level of intensity if you're down big to Arkansas or you're down big to South Florida or you're down big to Tulane. It's natural to sort of, and they never do. And you're right. Like, I think here it's this, all this, the way the season has gone, they're now 4-8. They've had the drama is sort of cascading in on them. And so they're not playing with some sort of a fever pitch. Certainly.
I do also think this is becoming more of a norm in the NBA where it's almost like the first few months are just kind of treated as like real extended preseason.
There were some good things last night. Jalen Wells is hitting shots now.
Yep.
That's good.
I thought Vince had one of his better games.
Vince looks like the Vince that we once thought was going to beat out Marcus Smart to be the starter at the beginning of last year.
He did all stuff
way back. 14-9-6 for Vince. Santi played well. Said didn't shoot well, but once again, like, he had 5 assists and 2 blocks. Like, he does stuff even when he doesn't shoot well. He and Cam both had 11 points. There were some good things. The other thing, but bad things, we had all the turnovers.
Yep.
We had Jaren fouling out for the third time this season after only 29 minutes. We did get the news about Brandon Clark, I guess, whatever, if it was that good news or bad news or whatever else. We got some sort of an health update on Brandon Clark. But the other thing that struck me was in the postgame, Michael Wallace was there for Grind City Media, and he talked to Ja about the turnovers. And let's play this clip.
So I have Mike's whole, so it's like a minute and a half.
Oh, well, okay. I'll tell you when we get to the key moments.
All right.
Here we are.
Ja, you talked about team-wide, the turnovers being detrimental throughout. This was not a good turnover game. How much did that hurt you guys trying to establish a rhythm early?
It hurt me a lot coming in the halftime and realizing how much turnovers I had. Obviously, some of them just making a better pass, delivering the ball. Some of them was, you know.
All right, that's it. That's it. Did you hear that?
You know.
Did you hear that? He said, some of them were, I got to make a better pass. Some of them were, he hesitates. You can't see it. He looks up at Mike Wallace and goes, you know.
And you to know, be clear, though, we did actually
what,
say,
what is the you know? I agree with this 100%. Yeah. We have said all along, my God, can you imagine being Ja Morant playing with this nonsense that he has to play with out there, throwing passes to Jock Landale? Like, this is like the what happens to some of his passes is egregious, right?
Yes.
Like, that is 100%. He is not playing with players who can handle his brilliance when he's at his brilliant.
Yes.
Most brilliant. But you don't say that. That pause was throwing
all
his teammates was, under the bus. Listen to it. That was what you hear, ladies and gentlemen. You can actually hear the bus in the background warming up, backing up over his teammates. Here we go.
Some of them was, you know.
That's the bus. I guess it's okay. You're right. He didn't say it. So do we give him credit for not saying it?
I think we have to. That's growth.
He didn't say it.
He did also lead with, I got to make better passes.
No, he did. And he wasn't in some foul temper.
No.
He was, but he's got to play better. You know, let's be honest. He's got to play dramatically better. I mean, you compare, and Chris made this point in the piece that he wrote today over at the Daily Memphian. He was all NBA before SGA and before Jalen Brunson. The last two games he's played those two guys. I think Chris said that in Ja's minutes up against those two players, again, it's not all Ja. The Grizzlies are minus 40. Minus 40.
And again, some of that's who else is on the floor. But you can't deny that when he's gone up against those two guys, when you're sitting there.
Believe it or not, Ja's going to be a Grizzly this time next year. I do not believe it. All right, we're going to come back, talk to John Martin coming up next. Before then, I will remind you that now through Saturday, November 15th, over at Robert Irwin Jewelers, listen, Give Gifts and Get Gifts has begun. It's a great, great deal that Howie does over there. You buy a gift for someone else, and you get a gift for yourself, or a gift that you can then give to another person, or you can double down. Anyway, so through Saturday, November 15th, spend $19.99 or more at Robert Irwin Jewelers, and you get a free Yeti Roadie 24 hard cooler, or you can take an additional 10% off already on sale diamond pendants and necklaces. The diamonds over there, stunning, absolutely stunning. As I said yesterday, I got Claire diamond earrings from Robert Irwin Jewelers for Christmas last year. She absolutely loves them. And now through November 15th, again, spend $19.99 or more and get a free Yeti Roadie 24 hard cooler. It is Give Gifts and Get Gifts at Robert Irwin Jewelers. They got the location in Bartlett. That's at the Bartlett Town Center, and that's near the Kroger. They've got the South Haven location at the corner of Airwaves and Goodman. And then they got the RIJ Diamond Showroom. That's on South Perkins. It's just across from Novel. That's the one that I go to. Take a break. Back with John Martin. Coming up next, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by John Martin. Jason and John every single day from 11 to 2. I didn't have John Martin last week because he was at Disney having a baby. Is that what you were doing at Disney? Well, you were announcing a baby. You went all the way to Disney to announce that you are, and I don't know what the hell you were thinking, having a third?
Well, the Disney plan was tripped. But see, I can't even speak now. The Disney trip was planned before we knew that there would be a third. We actually conceived the third, and Charles Fish got to D.C.
Come on. You didn't do the math. You didn't do the math. You didn't do
the math. I'm just kidding.
Math on that. Oh, my God. How did she tell you that you're expecting a third?
I was actually on a trip to Vegas.
Oh, God.
And that's I was great. Coming back.
Because I remember that didn't – you were not at your best. That wasn't a great trip for marital harmony.
No. I took a red eye back. That got delayed before it was even cool to get delayed.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like going on no sleep and I was delirious. Get back in, you know, says like, hey, when you get home, you know, we're outside. Just text me. I'm like, that's strange. You never treat me in this way.
Okay.
And then she, hey, something's wrong with the oven. Jesus, come back to this. There's something wrong with the damn oven.
Uh-huh.
Can't even think straight. And then she's like, look at it. So I open the oven, and there's a hot dog in there. I'm like, hot dog. Oh, my God.
Is that true? There was a hot dog bun in the oven, and that is
yeah.
how she – is that true? She told you
yeah.
there's a bun in the oven?
I'm like – I turn around, and she's like, you know, filming. And I'm like,
oh, you're dropping off. This is terrible. John, we can't, I want to hear this story, but are you there?
It's my car because I have show business, so it should be good in just a second.
Okay. It should be good in just a second. You clearly go to great lengths to make sure that we have a crystal clear connection every single time we talk. So anyway, you turn around and she's filming?
Yes. She is filming, indeed.
And what did she hear you say the F-bomb, or did she hear you, were you jumping up and down? What is that? If I were to see the video, what would I see?
Disbelief. You would see no expression is what you would see until it, you know, sets in. And, you know, I mean, it's weird because, and again, I'm walking, I have show business today, but. You know, it wasn't an intentional thing. It wasn't a not intentional thing, but it wasn't an intentional thing.
It wasn't an intentional thing.
Well, again, I was given false information, you know, on the whole schedule and stuff, you know. So
did she want the third? Was this intentional? Does she Is she thrilled?
No, I mean, I think, like, there was like, you know, I think with every, I mean, unless you're Sean Duffy, I think, you know, every parent hits a threshold, right? Where it's like, all right, we've got two. We've kind of got a rhythm. It's kind of fun. Do we want to do this again? Yeah. And, you know, a lot of parents decide that the answer to that question is no.
Right.
And, you know, I kind of went back and forth because, you know, to be totally transparent with you, I have a son and I have a daughter.
Right.
You know, I
partly when we had two, we tried for third in order to get a girl and we got Peter.
Right.
Who we love, right. Of course. Best of all,
right,
really.
Right. But you wanted Patricia. That's fine. I mean, that's fine. But
Lucy,
but, you know,
would have been a Lucy. But go ahead. Yeah.
I've got Riley and I've got Dominic. So there's not really, I don't really feel.
Okay, where was she on the threshold? Had she hit the threshold?
I think similar. I mean, it was like, if it happened, you know, it wasn't going to be the end of the world, but it wasn't like, oh my God, we have to continue to, you know, procreate to satisfy Elon.
When is the baby due?
April.
Baby's
like mid-April.
In April. Well, congratulations. Yeah. That'll be great. I think it's great.
Oh, yeah. You know, you say that. The way I've sort of, you know, in my head just already rationalized it is my house is constant chaos. Like last night my kid has something every night. My oldest kid had something every night now. We went to Target yesterday and, you know, that was absolutely hell on earth, you know, and then
how
we got home
can
and
it be is the idea.
I mean, I'm already living this life. Like, right. I'm not, you know, here's the truth. When you go from, and I remember this because it wasn't that long ago, when you go from no kid to one kid, it is like you die. I mean, honestly, like, it's like a version of you is dead. And it took me, you know, a long time, you know, to
accept that.
Yeah, like to reconcile, because I was still trying to do the same stuff that I was doing before I had a kid. You know, I was picking up and going out all the time, and I was, you know, I was meeting my friends, and I was making all these plans, and I wasn't considerate, and, you know, all these things. And then it gets to a point where, you know, your wife eventually comes to you and says, "Dude, you know, what are you doing to me here? I mean, you're leaving me hanging, basically." And again, you know, that's the hard part that you have to, you know, get around to. And then when Dominic came, I already grieved that version of myself. I'd already accepted that my life was never going to be the same, you know, and so this was really not that much of an adjustment. And so I would like to believe that the third, you know, addition here will be, you know, along those same lines.
Are you going to find out the gender? And did you the previous two?
No, Sam does not want to find out, and I don't particularly care either.
Well, that's exciting. Listen, kids are a joy, and now there's another one who can take care of you when you're old and frail, you know, in case the other ones decide not to. So that's good. The one, to me, the biggest downside is it's in someone else to worry about, not when they're little. It's another grown-up to worry about. Right. There's the old adage that you're only as unhappy as your unhappiest kid. And you just increase your chances of one of your three grown up kids, you know, being unhappy if you have three. You know what I mean? Like there's just another kid to worry about. Now, I think my parents who had nine, I think at some point you're like, I'm not going to worry about any of them. There's too damn many of them. Like I got spares, you know, at some point, maybe they don't. Maybe that math doesn't happen the same way. But I do think anyway. In for a dime, in for a dollar. Congratulations, John.
Wish us luck. Wish us luck, please. Thank you.
You have many more children than the Memphis Tigers have effective big men.
No, those are my kids too now.
Those are your children too. Right. Well, yes. Let me just say, are you going to ground Aaron Bradshaw?
We may have to send Aaron Bradshaw off to boot camp.
In a little timeout? Timeout for Aaron Bradshaw?
No, it was like the old, you know, like you always got threatened to go to military school, you know?
Right.
That's what I'd have to do
okay,
with Aaron.
Are you more encouraged or discouraged by what happened last night?
I mean, look, they lost. They lost the game. They were never really in it.
But I never thought they were going to win it.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, they were never, like, a threat to actually win. Like you never, you weren't watching that game like, oh, here comes the Memphis run. Like, yeah, you just, I mean, again, credit to Penny Hardaway, who does a magnificent job of not ever getting blown out. Like, it's just a, that's a skill, what he does. But, you know, unfortunately, the other side of that was, again, you know, Memphis wasn't really a threat in this game whatsoever. So, I mean, if you want to be, I don't know why you'd be encouraged off of that. I mean, you know, it's not like Ole Miss is a top 10 team. It's not like they're a, I mean, are they better? Are they a decent team?
Well, you'd be encouraged because, as Jeffrey said, a week ago, we wondered if this team was going to be a mess. And they're clearly not a mess. You know, they got some good players. They got some good pieces.
I think there are parts of them that are a mess.
Their bigs are a mess.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, there's, you know, again, I'm a very, very harsh critic, okay? So, like, I come at these things, like, the last thing I want to do, right, and the last thing I'm going to say that you'll ever see me say for the most part is, whether it comes to what the Grizzlies did last night in the fourth quarter or the Tigers, is, what a fight. Like, that ain't my brand of commentary, all right? And I respect the people that can look at things like that, but I'm a harsh critic, and my expectation in anything I'm doing is to win. Now, Memphis was a sizable underdog in that game last night, and so you could say that in some ways they outperformed market expectation, and they did. I mean, they did. They lost by 8. They were, you know, a 10-point underdogs. Suppose there's something to take out of that.
But you know, they lost by six.
Excuse me. The problem for Memphis is that it doesn't get easier. It gets harder than what they did last night. They're going to play Louisville at Louisville. They beat Kentucky last night at home, handled them pretty good, as a matter of fact. They're going to play Purdue on a neutral court and be big underdogs in that game.
I mean, they're going to be underdogs to Purdue, Baylor, Louisville, State, Vandy, and Wake.
Correct. That is absolutely correct.
Don't you think that's true? They'll be underdogs to all of those teams?
Yeah, and look, they won't be 10-point underdogs to Baylor or Vandy because they'll be at home, but they'll be 5-point dogs. They'll be, you know, 6-point dogs. So, you know, this is going to be the existence for Memphis this year. I just, you know, I think if they were able to get out of November and December at 500, it would be, like, really good. I mean, honestly, like, and that's really just beating every bad team on your schedule, right? Like, that's beating, you know, the UNLVs and the 200 level teams and things like that. So I just think that it's going to be really hard for Memphis. I didn't come away from that game last night feeling like they will navigate this schedule, you know, better than that. I mean, I if you did, you know, more power to you. But
no, in some ways it would be more hopeful if they had some great players who played badly last night, right? Because then you're like, okay, well, they'll figure it out again. But they don't have great players. I really liked Dane Bradshaw's interview with you yesterday, where he said two things. He said, one, you know, by the end of the season, certainly, but on any given day, Memphis had the two best players on the floor, you know, in Haggerty and Danger. And they just don't have that this year. They just don't. Like, they've got some good players on the wing and they whatever, but they don't have that. And then the other thing that was truly depressing to me, and this was in combination with Penny's very matter-of-fact statement to Wolo in pregame about Ole Miss's budget, is when Dane was saying, you know, it's pretty simple recruiting now. Some coaches really like it. They don't have to work that hard. They just say, what's the price? And they got to pick the right players. And that's that. Because if we lived in a world where we thought Memphis was a borderline top 20 program, now in order to be a top 20 program, you need a top 20 budget. And Memphis simply does not have one.
Yeah, I mean, again, everybody lies about their numbers and inflates them. But, you know, I do think that Memphis would be outside of that scope. That would be my guess. And to your point about, like, bad players – or, excuse me, good players having bad games, so you can maybe extrapolate and say, you know, it'll be better. Curtis Givens and Ashton Hardaway combined for 36 last night. Like, and I love Curtis Givens, and I've been talking about him all summer, and I really believe – that he's going to be a meaningful player, not just for this year, but beyond. But do we really think that they can count on 36 from?
No, but you can get better from Quante Berry. Didn't have a big game. Actually, my view of the guards is that the wings is that they've got enough that if Berry's not having a good game, maybe, you know, Givens is. Maybe, you know, if Ashton isn't, maybe Sincere Parker is. You know what I mean? I think they have enough pieces. If you put Dane Danger on this team, it would look dramatically different, right?
Oh, there's no question about that. And that's the glaring problem. This is the worst group of bigs Pitty has ever had by a long shot, because most of those teams either had DeAndre Williams or Jalen Duren or Naquan Tomlin or, last year you had Dane Danger. Like,
hey,
even
Dane Danger did not start out well. Have you given up on Aaron Bradshaw?
No, but you knew. First of all, Dane's problem at Illinois was not production; it was opportunity.
Right.
You knew that he would come in and have a chance to be, you know, pretty damn good. Aaron Bradshaw has flamed out at two schools, and now he's on number three, and he looks unplayable. Like, I'm watching that game.
He was off.
And I wanted to believe in him.
Yeah, the ball taken from him. Just the ball ripped away from him. He's got one shot in 20 minutes, one
rebound. How was he, and again, I hope he figures it out, but how was this kid a McDonald's All-American? Like, where was that possible? I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it at all. And then, you know, Silla's like, whatever. I mean, he's a big body in there, but he can't score. And Majok, you know, he's gonna be a guy that, like, he's like, you know, you're a baby. You know, he's like, you know, if he does anything good, you're like, yay! You know, like, so I just
how
feel
about
like
Majok. They, how about Majok by conference tournament actually turning into something?
I don't see it. I just don't see it. I mean, anything is possible in this world, but I just don't. I think that's just, it's a lot to put on the kid. It's like asking Zach Edey to come in and save the Grizzlies. Save us, Zach. You know, I mean, it's just, you can't really, you know, expect that, in my view. So if it happens, it's a bonus. But I mean, I think that is the glaring problem with Memphis, is that they don't have a big man that can consistently score the ball. I mean, they just don't. I mean, it's like, who am I counting on? Like, Doug McDaniel is a fighter, you know, and there were moments last night where he made some crazy shots, kept him in it. Obviously, Curtis did the same thing, but I don't know, man. It just feels like a hard way to live for Memphis basketball. I know it's a 6-point loss, and people are like, what the? But it's like, unfortunately for Memphis, and I think once they get to American play, like, this will be, we'll be able to relax a little bit, but the non-conference slate as it is sort of laid out, that you don't really have a chance to exhale and get your thoughts together. Like, it's got to improve, and it's got to improve right now. And if it doesn't, you're going to be going into conference play 500. Maybe. Dare say, even
now,
worse.
I'll say this. In terms of conference play, Alabama State just beat UAB. Like,
they did. That's Tony Madlock.
You know, conference looks like it could be there to be had, John.
I think Tony Madlock should get the UAB job as a result of that game last night.
They should have, once the game was over, instead of the handshake, they just should have switched benches.
Yeah, I mean, if Alabama State can beat UAB in Birmingham, like, I just feel like you have the coaches that are on the wrong sides there. Tony Madlock's doing a damn good job there. I don't know, like, you know, what his, you know, job opportunities are going to look like, but he won a tournament game last year with Alabama State. Like, he just beat UAB. Like this guy has done a really, really good job as a head coach.
I always ask you for a wager that you've placed by this time, looking forward to the week. Have you placed any for this weekend?
Yeah, I haven't yet, but I'm going to play the Chiefs. I'm, you know, because I just always pretty much bet the Chiefs. They're 3.5-4 on the road at Denver. Denver is just kind of fraudulent. I mean, I know they're 8-2, but if you look at what they've done, it took a miracle against the Giants. I mean, that game against the Raiders was embarrassing. Like, the fact they didn't win that game by 30 is crazy. And then you have the Chiefs off a bye, off the loss to your Bills. It just feels like maximum effort from them. And I think they probably take it to them in Denver.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
All right, my man. Yep.
John Martin, Jason John, every single day from 11 until 2. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, talk to Chris Harrington. He wrote about the Grizzlies last night. We'll do that next. Then Sam Hardiman is going to join the show. He writes about the city of Memphis. We'll talk to Sam as well. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.